be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. One brief announcement. The first hymn is 15 verses. So we're going to sing 8 verses now. And then after the prayers, or after the calling for the day, we'll sing the next 7. Okay? Please rise as we begin singing our first hymn.
Thank you.
us draw near with a true heart to confess unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy goodness and bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful me.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the center, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. With a voice of singing, declare with a shout of joy to the end of the earth, Alleluia.
The Lord has reduced the servant of Jacob. Alleluia.
Shout for joy to God, all the earth.
Sing the glory of his name.
I cry to him with my mouth.
And my praise is on my tongue.
But truly God has listened.
He has attended to the voice of my prayer.
Blessed be God.
Because he has not rejected my prayer, or removed his steadfast love from me.
With a voice of singing, declare with a shout of joy to the end of the earth, Alleluia.
The Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. Alleluia.
Thank you.
be with you. Let us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, one God, now and forever. Please be seated as we finish the last seven verses of the opening hymn.
Thank you.
Question 62 from the Catechism. How does this commandment apply to some specific issues today? First, it forbids aborting the life of an unborn child, also called elective abortion. Jeremiah 1. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Psalm 139. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that we were formed for me, when as yet they were none of them. Then they want you to read Luke 1, where the unborn baby John leaped for joy, acknowledging the unborn Jesus as Lord. Note, human life is God's gift. The living but unborn are persons in the sight of God from the moment of fertilization conception. Therefore, every human life is precious to him. It is also to be precious to us. Any destruction of embryos through the use of drugs or in connection with procedures such as in vitro fertilization is also therefore contrary to God's will. In some rare and exceptional cases, a medical procedure that is actually necessary to save a mother's life may tragically and unintentionally result in the death of her unborn child. Second, it forbids killing oneself, suicide, seeking help in killing oneself, assisting a person in taking his or her own life, assisted suicide, or killing a person who asks to die or whose life is deemed as too burdensome, euthanasia. Psalm 31. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Note, when someone is near death, certain treatments may only prolong suffering and not enable either recovery or physical well-being. In such cases, it is important to note that allowing death to occur when someone is irreversibly dying is different from causing death, which is forbidden by God. Third, it forbids acting violently or abusively toward a child or a spouse, child abuse or domestic abuse. Colossians 3. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. Colossians 3 again. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Fourth, it forbids engaging in reckless and self-destructive behavior, for example, substance abuse. 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And fifth, it forbids hating, despising, or slandering other groups of people, prejudice, racism, and so forth. Acts 17. God made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. James 2. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 3, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And Revelation 5, and they sang a new song saying, you are slain, and by your blood you ransom people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter is written in the 21st chapter of Numbers, beginning with verse 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and it was so. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Here endeth our Old Testament reading. Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's first letter to Timothy, the second chapter, beginning with verse 1. "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that all supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Here endeth our epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia.
Alleluia. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 16th chapter of St. John, beginning with verse 23. Jesus says, "In that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive it, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. And that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father, and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world, and I go to the Father." His disciples said to him, "Ah, see now, you are speaking plainly, and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things, and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you come forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Here endeth the Gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 22.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God, God, light of light, very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us men and redemption, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sit on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
gospel reading. And the theme is, not my will, but yours be done. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen. Well, in the gospel reading, Jesus commands his disciples to pray. You pray to God for two reasons. First, God commands you to pray to him. Second, God promises to hear you and to answer you. Martin Luther explains at the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer with these words, "This means that I should be certain that these petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are heard by him, for he himself has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us. Amen, amen means yes, yes, it shall be so." Dear saints in Christ, all people are required to pray to God. That is the law. Our catechism explains the second commandment that you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. With these words, we should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray praise, and give thanks. So the command to pray is law, just as the command to have no other gods is law. However, the commandment cannot bring about effective prayer, just as the command to love God does not bring about love toward God. So the command to pray would bring you no comfort or joy unless you added the promise that he will hear you and give you what you need. Jesus says, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Ask, and you shall receive it, that your joy may be full." And so you have from Jesus not only a command, but a glorious and comforting promise. The promise is the gospel, which is received only by faith. And before I go on, I need to define what it means to pray. To pray means that you speak to God in faith. Most of the time you pray to God, you are asking him for something. However, you also praise him for what he has given you. I mean, who asks someone for what he doesn't need? And who asks something from someone from whom he does not expect to receive? And who praises someone for giving something who he does not believe gave him anything? So to pray, you must pray in faith, trusting God's promises that he will hear you and that he desires to give you what you pray for, that he is able to give it, and in many cases, that he has given it. St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome says that faith comes from hearing. This is why Jesus says, "The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. And that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God." When did Jesus say that you will ask the Father in his name? When he has spoken to you clearly. And why does he say that the Father loves you? Because you love him and believe that Christ came from him. And how do you come to love Christ and believe in him? It is through his word being spoken clearly to you. We love because he first loved us. The gospel tells you plainly of God's love for you and sending Christ to take your sins away. You believe, because it has been preached clearly to you that Christ came from the Father and returned in glory, having won salvation for you. Now, you can separate prayer, cannot separate prayer from faith, because prayer is to speak to God in faith. And you cannot separate faith from God speaking to you, because it is only through God's word that you can come to faith. You see, apart from faith, you cannot ask God for anything, because you do not believe that he will give you anything. Just imagine, if you will, hit a baseball into a neighbor's window and you broke it. Now, would you feel confident that you could go and ask your neighbor then for a cup of sugar? Of course not. You would not want to ask anything of your neighbor until you had made things right. And then you were sure that your neighbor did not hold anything against you. And it is the same with God. If you believe that God is angry with you, or that you are unworthy to receive anything from him, then you aren't going to ask him for anything. You will doubt whether he listens to you or wants to give you anything good. This is why it is extremely important for you to listen to God. If you are to speak to God, you must first listen to him speak to you. Jesus says that is when he speaks to them plainly. Then he will ask the Father in his name. Why is that? Because Christ will explain to them that he has made atonement for their sins by his death upon the cross, that he has ascended to the right hand of God the Father and is now interceding for you sinners by the merits of his perfect satisfaction. If God sent his Son for your sake, how can he deny you anything good? If Christ pleads on your behalf, how can God not listen to you? But if you do not listen to Christ and his preaching, how can your conscience be comforted that God is reconciled to you? And how then can you know what to pray for? This is why you should not only regularly go to church to hear the preaching of the gospel and divine instruction, but why you should daily pray the catechism. You see, the catechism is not just some sort of textbook. The catechism is a prayer book. A textbook is something that you buy for a class. You use it for that class, and then you return the book, never to look at it again. But a prayer book is something that you keep by your bedside and you pray until the pages are so ragged you can't read it anymore. But it doesn't matter, because you've learned it by heart. You know, it's common for older Lutherans to laugh and say that they used to know their catechism back when their pastor made them memorize it. But not anymore. But it should be so. A 50-year-old, 60, 70, 80-year-old should know his catechism better than a 14-year-old. Not because he repeats the same sentences over and over again until he can say it without looking to the pastor, but because he daily prays a portion of the catechism, that is, as a part of his daily devotions. He recites a little bit of God's word. That is what the catechism is. It is a simple instruction for you in God's word. By adding a minute to your daily prayers, you can continue to learn and remember your catechism and aid your prayers. By hearing Jesus speak plainly to you, you learn to pray in Jesus' name. To pray in Jesus' name means first to pray based upon the merits and the intercessions of Christ. It means to say to God, do not look at my sins or deny my prayer because of them, because I am not worthy of any of the things for which I ask nor have I deserved them. But I pray that you will give them all to me by grace, that is, by the merits of Christ. Do not look at my sin. Look at Jesus' righteousness. Do not look at my unworthiness. Look at Jesus' merits. Do not look upon my transgressions, but gaze at Jesus' wounds, which make me whole. That is what it means to pray in Jesus' name. It means to pray to God through faith in the gospel, that God will give all good things for the sake of Christ Jesus, his Son. You pray not for God to reject you for what you have done that is displeasing to him, but that he answer you for the sake of Christ Jesus, his beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased. In fact, when you pray in Jesus' name, you are praying as those who have been clothed in Christ Jesus himself. It is Jesus himself who is praying for you. Jesus says, "I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you." In other words, when you pray in Jesus' name, God considers himself your dear Father and you his dear children, so that you may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father. Yes, yes, even as Christ Jesus asked the Father for anything. If God the Father could deny his Son Jesus, so he could deny the one who prays in Jesus' name, nevertheless, you know that the Father loves the Son, and so he loves those who have faith in him. However, you may be thinking of a time when the Father appears to deny his Son. When in the garden the Son prayed, "Oh, take this cup away." But the Father did not take the cup away, but he gave it to Jesus to drink to the bitter dregs, that is, to suffer the punishment of all sins upon the cross. Nevertheless, even in this, the Father did not deny the Son, for Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will be done." And it was the will of the Lord to crush Christ for the sake of your salvation. And so you learn to pray in Jesus' name also means to pray according to Jesus' word and promise. This is why you should not only pray the Lord's Prayer, but meditate upon it. Read it in your catechism, what it says about it, so you recognize the awesome things for which you pray. You pray for his name to be holy among you, for his kingdom and spirit. That is, you pray for the Holy Christian Church upon earth, that she triumphs in the church militant and rejoices in the church triumphant. You pray for every bodily need that you have on earth. You pray for forgiveness, for deliverance from temptation, and from an evil death. All these things, God says yes to you, as if you were Christ himself. However, Jesus himself suffered for the sake of your salvation. So God permits you to suffer, but always worked out for your good. Your sinful flesh, your old Adam, does not pray in Jesus' name. It wants to grow impatient, and it wants you to assume that God does not give you exactly what you pray for as you prayed for it, that he is a failure as a God. Nevertheless, Jesus teaches you how to pray to the Father. "Not my will, but yours be done." Your prayers are always for the sake of the heavenly kingdom. Even when you pray for your daily bread, you would rather God give you no daily bread if that bread were to prevent you from entering the heavenly kingdom. That is why you always pray, "Thy will be done." God is not saying no to you, and he doesn't give you everything exactly as you want it. If you are praying, thy will be done. Rather, God takes your prayers with the Holy Ghost. He makes them better and makes them serve the kingdom. Dear saints in Christ, this does not mean that God does not care about your problems. Quite the contrary. God cares so much for you, the little and the great things. That is why you should constantly pray to him for everything. He loves to hear you and to answer you. Nevertheless, God always has the right priorities. He desires your eternal salvation. It is his good pleasure to give you his kingdom. So ask it in Jesus' name, and you will receive it. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Saved us from slavery to sin and death by the resurrection of Christ. and you lead us through the wilderness of life. Teach us to cry out in faith, not doubting your desire and power to sustain us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, equip pastors and all who serve us in Christ's name, that they would faithfully deliver us the fruits of his redeeming work. Prepare the hearts of those who will hear and heed his call to service in this generation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Samantha and Ruth continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son in his incarnation took on our human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. He submitted to his mother, honoring and obeying her, so fulfilling the commandment where we have not. On this Mother's Day, graciously accept our thanksgiving for our mothers, whom you have given to us. Teach us to honor them aright, loving, obeying, and giving thanks for them, as it is fitting in your sight. Strengthen all women with child and give them safe delivery. Comfort all women who long to have children but cannot, but that they may find their consolation in you and your unfailing love. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all, bless our nation and its citizens. Give us good leaders, satisfying work, loving families, and a peaceful and quiet life that glorifies your name. Watch over, guard, and keep our servicemen and women in your protective care, especially Gordon, Brandon, John, Dylan, Rebecca, Aiden, Donovan, and Emily. Lord, in your mercy. Listening, Lord, you always wait upon the prayers of your people and attend to their cries. We pray especially for Robin, Carol, Steve, Kathy, Ruth, Roger, Helen, Deanna, Carlene, Brianna, Lisa, Robin, Deb, Mary, Shirley, Billy, the family of Bill Dangers, and the Leslie family. Inspire us to pray in all seasons of life and through all trials, giving us faith in your promise to answer us. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you graciously provide us with the gifts of Christ's true body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Grant us repentance and faith as we commune this day that we may receive his precious gifts. Lord, into your mercy. Heavenly Father, you have attended to the voices of our prayer. You have commanded us to pray and have promised to hear us. Let your mercy comfort and sustain us in prayer, that we may heartily and fervently pray to you at all times and in all places, not doubting but trusting in your promise. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
We should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, and most especially we want to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying he has destroyed death, and by his rising again he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, and Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with Bill and angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Receive of us, O Christ, our Lord.
Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep me up as my grace. Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. This true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sin. This is the true body of the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
to keep your baptismal spirit grace. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep your baptismal grace. Take, eat. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take, drink the true blood of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given for you the remission of all your sins. Gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Thank you. Yeah.